T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
To my family, my wife Vanessa, our daughters Natalia and Gianna, you know, thank you guys for all your sacrifice. You know, for all the hours I spent in the gym working and training. And Vanessa, you holding down the family the way that you have. I can't, there's no way that I can thank you enough for that. So, yeah, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And what can I say? Mamba out.
An emotional Kobe Bryant after his last game, in which he scored 60 points because he made a couple of free throws at the end to do it. I thought that as we were transitioning with Lawrence Holmes down at Radio Row in South Miami Beach, that the vibe would be a little different. I can only imagine at a place and time as festive as Super Bowl Radio Row that the impact of Kobe Bryant's death yesterday is affecting things as we bring Lawrence in to transition. Hello, Lawrence. How are you?
I'm good, man. It's interesting because I got off the plane and I had no idea what was going on. I got down here yesterday afternoon, and the first thing I see are a bunch of text messages from friends and family like, is this true? Is this true? And I'm sitting there going, what are they talking about? And then you get the news that Kobe and his daughter and the other 7 passengers that were on that helicopter had passed away. So I was trying to get down to Miami to Miami Beach to get my credential and get settled onto Radio Row. And I found myself, I heard Connor talking about this earlier, I found myself then searching for places that I knew had journalistic credibility to confirm what had gone on and to try and tell me what had happened. And it was strange. And I just finished doing an interview. To speak to your point, Dan, I just finished doing an interview for NBC with Jarrett Payton, and it was weird to talk with him about this because of his perspective of losing his own dad. Now, granted, his wasn't sudden the way that the Bryant daughters have lost their sister and their dad, but him talking about it, It was a very interesting perspective to go to get it from someone who had seen that level of notoriety and success at the professional level and what that is like, the impact of it. And he was talking about how after his dad passed away, that Brittany didn't know that this was going on. And there were helicopters above their house and everything else. And that when he found out, she was still at school. And to think about, you know, how long ago that was and how sudden it was and the journalistic aspect of this, where whether you report or you don't report. And some of it I thought yesterday was really sloppy in the reporting of it. Hearing his perspective and him now being a dad was really chilling to me.
Yeah, that kind of, boy, I don't know. I don't know if you felt the same way, Lawrence, but as I was looking through and trying to find what was actually going on, if people missed it, I was on a train, you know, not a plane and completely disconnected, but still just trying to find something. I guess my brain was just telling me it's not true, like that this isn't happening and it's not going to be a report that's valid or whatever, and finding out that it actually was something else. But to, I ended up thinking about Kobe in terms of, you know, my own NBA fandom and as complex as Kobe Bryant's legacy is, I just couldn't shake this sense that the guy played his entire career, or almost his entire career, aiming for the legacy of Michael Jordan and never being all that apologetic about it. And I love that about his career. I just truly love that about his career, as challenging as that and many other things Kobe was, that Kobe has in his own past, that stuck out to me.
Well, Mel and I were texting because she was like, well, are you okay? Like, or what's going on? And I said, I was a little rattled by his death because he had been in the news over the last couple of weeks where it's him and his daughter at the game and they were talking about stuff and the Kimmel interview and then LeBron passing him on the scoring list. And Dan, I don't know if you feel similarly to this. He wasn't mine. And it was a very strange thing because of the Jordan connection. And I'm only a couple years older than Kobe, but I didn't feel like he was mine. I always felt like he belonged to people who were younger than me. I love that you guys had Jason on because I thought that he did a really good job of understanding the cultural aspect of Kobe and how that space after Michael was gone is a difficult space to fill and all the different ways that he tried to do it. So I'm having a difficult time kind of making sense of my own feelings about it because my connection to him isn't as strong as if this would have happened to Michael or if this would have happened to Scotty, who was my favorite player growing up. But I can understand at least the importance of having a player that was willing and able to step into the void and take some of the good and a little bit of the bad of Michael Jordan to create who he was as a player.
It's funny that you mentioned that after what you initially said, because we were talking in the pre-show meeting, and for the first time I had to really confront this kind of feeling was when Walter Payton died. And the fact that I was born in 69, so when he had his breakthrough year in 1977, I was 8 years old, and we had season tickets. I mean, we went to every game. It was this incredible revelation. It was literally multiple Walter Payton posters on the wall in my bedroom. Not making that up. Not using that as a euphemism. I would cut pictures out of him from Sports Illustrated and other magazines and Pro Football Weekly, and I would tape them to the wall. And for me, that particular death, that felt how personalized it was. When you layer that with people who did sort of imprint on Kobe Bryant, whether Los Angelinos or not, and I think something Jason said really resonated, that no matter what, basketball's different. Basketball's the personal connectivity to basketball is different than football.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a multi-layered thing. I mean, this is an 18-time All-Star who spent his entire career with one team, with an international footprint in that sport. I'm like you, Lawrence. I can't get into that perspective because it's not my perspective, but I can appreciate it. I can appreciate the depth and the significance of it with all of these factors at work.
And there's so much for us in particular, and for us, because you spent time covering the Bulls as a beat reporter. I've spent time covering a beat, and some of that, the fandom stuff gets away from you. Like you end up taking it out of your
right.
your DNA for
yeah, when
a
I'm
while,
standing next to Michael Jordan every day and butting heads with him and he's yelling at me and I'm rolling my eyes at him. And after a while, I would get home and I'd be like, man, that's Michael Jordan. Like
right.
that's the same guy that I was impersonating playing Nerf hoop in my bedroom, and now it's just a guy I see at work.
Well, and the Jared stuff brought me back to when he was talking about the death of Walter. I was pretty fresh to the score. I was in 1 year in when Walter passed away, and I was one of the producers of the Walter Payton show. So here I was confronted at that time with the guy that I grew up like, man, just being marveling by and having that fan reaction to him. To him being in a room and grabbing your thigh.
Yep.
And exactly. and to now be sitting here with his son, and his son's almost 40 years old, and him, every time that Jared talks about it, and they're here this week for the Man of the Year Award, the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, seeing tears in his eyes, even now bringing it up. And the parallel between that and what Kobe's family, what his daughters are going, and he has a 7-month-old daughter that's really going to grow up without really knowing her father. It's weird. There's a lot of feelings here. And even from the fan way of looking at it, for a long time, I felt that Bulls fans and Jordan fans, if they are too similar or too different groups, have been the keeper of the Holy Grail. that they've been the one saying this person is worthy and this person isn't worthy.
The Knights Templar.
Right. Yeah. We're it. Like, we're Opus Dei of Bulls fandom, kind of opening and closing the door. And I felt that there was that to most of the fans that I interacted with, that Kobe was a more rightful heir to it than people want to give credit for LeBron being. And I think it is because that you can tell how similarly Kobe wanted to be, that he would mimic a lot of the stuff that Michael Jordan would do, that it became a part of his persona. But then you have to take that away and look at what the impact that Kobe had on this game internationally. And I heard you guys talking, discussing it a little bit with your last guest. I feel as if he was the gateway drug for it. That he was the guy that, because he was so international, that there was a connection. And we saw it a few weeks ago where he's messing with Doncic in Slovenian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're sitting there on the sideline. And I feel that opened the door for there to be more international players and for the game to globalize as it was. It would have done it anyway. But to actually have one of the best players act as an ambassador to do that, I think is one of the special things about his legacy that we should not forget.
Chatting a bit with Lawrence Holmes here in transition. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Handing things off to Lawrence. He is in Miami for Radio Row in the Super Bowl week. What's on the schedule today, my man?
Well, I mean, Herbie and I had a whole different type of show scheduled for today, and we're going to spend the first hour talking a lot about Kobe. And The beautiful thing about the staff that I have is that to have Rick Camp there to talk about the basketball in a really meaningful way, I think is important. Mark Schanowski, who has done a lot of cool stuff in covering the NBA, but specifically can give us some real comps between Kobe and MJ and LeBron, having him on the show at 12:40. Then we will transition over to a little bit of football. I've had some cool conversations with people already here, and Anthony Heron, as he's done every Monday at 1 o'clock, is going to join me. So we're going to try to have a pretty well-rounded show. We're going to go through a lot of the sound on Kobe as well. And I know that there are plenty of people that are trying to come to grips with it. And for what Connor said, like, just the disbelief.
Yeah.
Of that moment is hard to let go of. And then when you realize that he's on the helicopter with his daughter, they're going to a tournament, there are two other coaches that have impacted lives that were on that helicopter that passed away. It's a lot to try and get your arms around, and I don't know if anyone will do it sufficiently, but we will try.
We'll be listening, Lawrence. Thank you.
Guys, thank you very much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.